Ooh, Smoochie, we're on.
Right on.
Right on. All right, welcome to Think About It with
Jake
and Steven. Today's Think About It episode is brought to you by nobody, but we would love for you to help us grow this podcast, and we would love to help you grow your company by advertising on here. We'd love it so much, right?
Yeah, we really would. It would benefit us and you.
In ways you can't even fathom. We have ideas here at the Think About It podcast because that's what happens when you think about it. You have ideas.
You have ideas. You take those ideas and you create the future with them.
And in the future, there is no trace of this obsolete system. The future is a different place. It's moving in a different way. And we want to help your company survive it. We want to advertise you on here. And instead of today, when you sit at your house and you see a product advertised on the television or the internet, and you say, let me think about it. Do I want this? No, those old ways are gone. Instead of thinking about it, they just listen to the Think About It podcast. And they say, yes, I want to buy your product. Yes, I want to subscribe to your service. And we would love to tell them about it and help you out and also grow us to where we think for you and with you here at Think About It.
Because that's what we do here. We observe a product, we think about it, and if we like it, we'll tell you. And of course, as everyone knows, we're always right.
Yeah, and we will take over your mind and tell you what to do. And that's just part of what you get with us and the Think About It package. So if you want that kind of power, if you want to wield the human mind like a Jedi, if you want to just hold people's wants and dreams and say, that's my product, buy it. You can advertise it and we'll make it a reality. You can contact us at thinkaboutitcast@gmail.com. And you can even shout out to us on Twitter @thinkingpodcast. So we hope you will contact us about this. We got big things in the work. Big things. And you can help us make this podcast bigger and help us upgrade. We've made some changes since our last episode.
Yeah, we got a new studio.
I mean, you know, same place, but we got some improvements, so we're feeling pretty large.
Got some new posters on the walls.
Yeah, they were there, but they just weren't hung up. Because it's like, when you hang up a poster, there's a couple approaches. And if you do it wrong, you end up ruining the poster and ruining the wall space. I mean, and I've done it in the wrong way. Yeah, I've done it in the wrong way. I've got a couple, one frame, two frames, yeah. But I mean, shit.
Yeah, I usually go out for the frame before I hang mine. Just because I like to.
That's a canvas painting, so. I was listening to a thing about this today, nonverbal radio. We're doing terrible right now. Like, look at this thing and this thing and this thing.
Oh, yeah.
The nonverbal radio. It'd be great. Nonverbal podcast. Just, like this thing I'm doing right now. obviously.
Yeah, we're still new at this, but getting the hang of it.
Getting the hang, and I am loving the improvements we've made, so just letting you guys know it's going to run a little bit smoother. In this Think About It episode, we're just going to really think about it. Think about life from maybe our perspective, but we also, in thinking about it, want to explore different people's perspective and what certain people feel like. I mean, I always know that I used to villainize the big and the powerful people. And then I saw from their perspective, if you're just a family of wealthy people, you just come along in the line and, kind of inherit that burden that you're using a scam system, I guess. But that's not how it always is. Some people make an honest fortune. But we will talk about it. We'll think about it. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with
Jake
and Steven. Hit it with the theme music.
Yeah.
Same time. What was that, man?
I don't know.
It's Think Jinx. About It. Jinx, yummy soap. Coke.
Oh, double jinx.
Get out of here. Opening with the double jinx.
That's bad luck.
Good magic.
Or good luck.
That's good magic, maybe. I don't know. We're synchronized.
Good
groovy. Groovy juju.
What was that PS2 game back in the day about the Juju?
Oh, Juju. What's he? He's
the power of Juju.
The power of Juju. He's like a little
it
Indian.
With a T. It was like Tanzu or. It was like
Taku.
A little...
And the power of Juju.
Sure?
Taku. Let's look it up.
All right, look it up real quick.
Okay, I'm going to look up Taku.
That was one of the first PS2 games I ever got. I think I got it with my first PS2, actually.
And.
On Christmas Day. That and Hulk. The game that came out with the...
You spelled Juju, J-U-J-U, Tak.
I think so.
It's just T-A-K, Tak and the Power of Juju. But I said Taku.
Tak, yeah.
I said Taku. That's pretty close.
Pretty close.
That's like a win with the Asian...
That game was pretty fun. That
spin on it.
And Hulk, the game that came out after the movie.
The original one?
Yeah, the really bad one.
I watched that on the TV the other day, and oh my god, so shitty.
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal with the childhood story and the girl he's connected with? I mean, come on. And the Hulk's like not even.
I mean, I never read the Hulk comics, but I mean, so I don't know anything about the Hulk's childhood, but the Edward Norton movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one because he's like a benefactor guy. He helps people in, you know, the jungles.
Yeah.
Like
but that movie was a lot better than the... Well, I'll admit the Hulk, I don't know. He was way oversized in that movie. He was like 15 feet tall.
Yeah, he was just jumping places. He was like just jumping like whenever he needed to go. I'm in the desert, in the American desert. Do I need to go to a city? Okay, I'll just jump there.
Yeah, I'll just fucking jump. 45 miles out of the desert.
Talking the power of Juju.
San Diego.
Talking the power of Juju is what we opened up on. Wow.
Power of Juju.
Okay, with some Juju power, we must summon the stories we're going to talk about some stories because it is the Think About It podcast. And while these are current stories and just, you know, things that are in the news, you usually hear organized news media, or you might get some alternative media, some internet stuff like the Young Turks or something of that nature, alternative media. But we want to think about it with you in a different perspective, like put it in perspective because of what all sides of a current topic are feeling. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Just because we hear about like things, foreign issues happening. Like people at work today, a lady asked me, because she knows I stay up on current events, she said, what's happening in Ukraine with all the riots and everything and the Lenin statue being torn down? And I was telling her about whether they should join the EU, the European Union, or not. So, I mean, people are hearing about these
what
other stories.
What is that about?
Well, I mean, just the pretty much the European Union, the all the countries that are in the European Union, they have like free trade and stuff, like, and they're all on the euro.
And so,
the Ukraine is. Pretty much, there's protesters that are on the side of joining the EU. They're pro-EU. So they want to join the European Union. My personal opinion, the European Union is broke. I mean, I have my own opinions about it, but I don't live in the Ukraine. That's what I'm saying. Like, I try to think about it from a Ukrainian perspective, and that's what we try to do, try and think about, like, the situations they're put in. Because there is a reason that the protesters are out there saying, we want to join the EU. I mean,
yeah.
There must be a reasoning behind it. You know, and there are some, and that's the thing on Think About It. We can think about, because protests aren't always what they seem. There's sometimes where, whether it be a government agency like the FBI, CIA, or, you know, a corporation in the Occupy Wall Street protests, they had people on the inside that were sent to make the protests violent.
Yeah.
And
you hear about
disrupt
I heard a few stories about, you know, cops that were, Well, you see all the time about cops, you know, at riots.
Yeah, punching shit out.
Punching
like,
people,
yeah.
Macing people in the face
oh,
when they're
gosh.
Handcuffed behind their backs.
But, you know, that's, again, I've never been in that situation.
No, me neither.
We need to get up on our mics. I feel like I'm leaning back, but...
All right, here
I am. I'm in a comfortable setting, you know? It's very comfortable.
So,
Yeah, to these stories... What we got here, the data sharing among U.S. law enforcement agencies is in chaos.
Organized chaos.
It's a system, people, of organized chaos. Okay.
So what's going on here?
Okay, we see that the sharing of intelligence among American law enforcement agencies. Now, this is scary already, because, you know, coming from my background, living in a town I have, you know, a relatively small town that has had not one, but two major novels written about corruption in the police and misdoing in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just seem to see why this could be a bad deal and why, you know, that this is just, you know, more records that they have on us that I don't feel comfortable with. What purpose are these really serving? I mean, like, I understand if there's suspicion, but in organized chaos, that doesn't sound good because it seems like, you know, a rogue operation already.
I think they're just power hungry and they want to control people.
Okay. It's a, yeah, and exactly where it opens with the ultimate line to shut people and get them in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
In the wake of September 11th, 2001, terrorist attacks are being conducted in a manner that resembles organized chaos, according to a study published this week. Okay. The New York University's Brennan Center for Justice published their findings on Tuesday by way of an 86-page report that contains their analysis of an investigation into dozens of local and federal law enforcement agencies across the United States and how these offices disseminate on a large-scale locally collected activity reports that are regularly and carelessly put together and then put into the hands of others. Okay, so that was a lot of word salad, I guess, but they're pretty much saying, I mean, these, they get this intelligence. They have pretty much the right to, they're doing this investigation into how much power they have to just collect this data, put it in reports, and say, hey, other departments, here it is for you to use. Okay? So they're just, and this is the system they, I guess, they've got in place. And it says, what we found is organized chaos. Increasing number of agencies collect and share personal data on federal networks. Inaccurate or useless information travels more widely. Adding that, despite this, independent oversight of fusion centers is virtually non-existent, compounding these risks. Okay, so if you don't know what a fusion center is, basically, you know what a fusion center is?
No.
We've watched people like go there. Like, I know I have with you before, maybe with Austin. Shout out to Austin.
Tell me about it.
Well, fusion centers, they got one in Utah that's like worth like $1 billion, and it's pretty much where they, the NSA, you know, and all that, they spy on everybody, and this is where they send it. They send it to the fusion center, and they just sort it out. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like, they sort it out, and they keep it forever. Like, okay, they...
Yeah, that's, it's just these buildings with massive, like, computer hard drives.
Yes, for storage, exactly. Right? Oh, my storage. Gosh.
Okay, yeah.
And they're constantly... They've got everything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I told a lady at my work today, because the same lady asked me about the Ukraine. She's saying, you know... this big story in the New York Times happened where all these corporations, we'll get to that. I wanted to talk about that too. But that pretty much she said, you know, how is the NSA spying on me? Because she hears all this and hears all the yada yada. But, and she understands that there's a bunch of yada yada, that it's pretty much a runaround. How are they spying on me? And it's like, well, they connect, they collect all the data ever that runs through the internet, everything on there, everything that pertains to you that is on the internet that runs through the feeds that they own. I mean, they own the feeds that run the internet, and they collect the data and they save it. And if they need it, they'll go pull it up. Everything that's on you, because they can sort metadata like that. And so that's what these fusion centers are built to do and that are paid for by our tax money. So she's saying that pretty much what we've heard already with the NSA, there's no oversight. There's no real oversight. I mean, the oversight for the NSA is the FISA court, okay? And who's going to say no on the FISA court? It's like the director, the NSA directors and all the people involved in the situation are influential to their jobs in the FISA court. So they're saying there's no oversight. And But I don't see how, I guess it's going to tell us how it goes into local agencies, because that's a fusion center. And it says these fusion centers are virtually non-existent in oversight.
I guess the question would be, since they own the feeds that run the internet,
yeah,
how do we give that power to the people? So well, the people run the internet.
Well, see, I mean,
because if anything should be free for all people to run themselves, it should be the internet.
Yeah, I really did think that that's what it was, that all computers were just linked together and it made the internet. But I did read a story and part of the NSA revelations that was released in the Der Spiegel, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, the magazine that was one of the people who got the documents, Edward Snowden, some of the ones he did release, and they've been influential in really producing a lot of the big breaks. And they said that the U.S., at the creation of the internet, the U.S. government made sure that they were the ones who knew what, like, was being laid. I guess the foundation, the feeds of the internet.
Yeah.
And so I don't really understand. I'm not claiming to be, like, some expert in how the internet works. I just use it every day. But what I'm saying is I really do believe, and there is, I mean, why would the government not take hold of this? I mean, the internet could destroy the government. If, like, something super bad got out, people would riot, you know, and it could destroy them. So why would they not? If they're preparing for these terrorist attacks and small groups of militants, they're preparing for an informed population.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And that's what I get scared about this stuff with, because they're preparing for an informed population.
Yeah. I saw a story about some town in Texas getting armored police vehicles, like Humvees.
Jeez. But hey, knowing that, depending on what part of Texas, I mean, really, but the citizens could probably fight back at them. That's the thing. That's why they need the armored vehicles, is because those Texas citizens, they get wind of something that they think's fishy in the government. 1776 is coming again. You heard Alex Jones. You heard it. You heard that, buddy, on the news. I mean, and that's the thing, that they get people like Alex Jones does through fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. Fear-mongering. That's the name of the game. For all you people out there, do not give into the fear-mongering. They're telling you, and I'm not saying live recklessly. Well, maybe I am. But, I mean, I just trust your adult judgment. But don't let somebody scare you without you doing your own investigation into it. Don't let somebody throw you 10 statistics and all this stuff and let them show you the FEMA camps they're building for us. Because if you do some investigation into it, how many people are there now? You know, like, how is this supposed to be implemented? And I get that they're bulking up the police like that, and that really upsets me as well. But I don't want to go around fear-mongering people, is what I'm trying to say with that statement. But yeah, it's pretty much they're preparing for something.
Yeah.
Or a pissed off public, at least.
Well, they should be pissed off.
Yeah.
A lot of shady shit going on.
That's something I told myself I wanted to talk with you about on here is I saw a quote, I believe it was from Morgan Freeman, but I'm not going to say for sure because people will listen to this and be like, no, you dumbass. But it said, if you've heard this before, I think, but if they took away all the cigarettes, all the booze, all the drugs, everything, if they took it away for a week, you would rise up and overthrow your governments, you know, take the total, society would take a turnaround because people are being pacified. And I don't want to hate on people. I'm a man of many flaws, but it's just something for you to think about. I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's just something to think about. Are we being pacified? I mean, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I am too. I have things that I totally just shut my brain off and dive into for weeks, months.
I mean, entertainment.
At a time.
Entertainment. What is that?
How do you not love entertainment? God. It's so easy to just lose yourself in it.
You can get lost in Netflix and you will be swimming in a sea of dirtiness. Just, oh, I gotta watch the next episode. Okay, one more episode. No, you're gone. You're gone, friend.
Yeah, that's a Netflix coma.
You're gone, friend.
But yeah, I think we are. And You know, I was never really interested in sports that much as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I just didn't interest me. But now I think I know why, and it's because it's just not important. The big thing is that they try to make you... It's all a big stream of consciousness that they feed you.
Yeah, competition-wise.
And the thing is, you have to like the things that everybody else likes,
mm-hmm.
and do the things that everybody else
conform.
Does. And that's how they use fear-mongering. You know,
exactly.
if you don't do what everybody else does, well, then you're different.
Yeah.
And that's not cool.
And if you're different, you could be a serial killer. You could be somebody bad.
You have to be like me. You have to go to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
You have to watch football games.
And yeah, I understand.
And you have to do all this weird, stupid stuff that we do.
But
every
does it
day.
Say something? Does it say something about them that whenever something arises in society that is not the same, that they are so quick to be like, no, because it's almost like they themselves, while following a certain lifestyle, and I don't, you know, to specify who we're talking about, just pretty much, you know, people, whether it's ultra fundamentalists or people like that who just shut off when they hear an alternative idea. They don't even come relatively close to being open-minded, and that comes with many mainstream academics too. But they believe in it wholeheartedly themselves, but yet at the same time, it's almost like they know that if you see something else, you're going to be like, oh, that's way better. That's a way better lifestyle. This is shitty, and they'll want to quit, and we won't have as many friends to chill with and be shitty and crazy together. Like, it's almost if they know that, and they're just like, don't look at this Satan material and smut, because you'll love it and you'll want to be just like these people. Because, I mean, isn't that not what their reasoning is? What is their reasoning to just shut off?
Fear.
Maybe because...
I don't know. Again, self or control.
Yeah, just a kind of the
control
grip their belief system has on them.
Well, yeah. That's a big problem, is when people argue about their beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh, it could go on for days. And we know a guy.
It's
who argues his beliefs.
It takes a while to be able to step outside of yourself and really just look at what you're doing and what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had a conversation about this before, but you say you know, the Bible is a great story,
mm-hmm.
but it's told to you with the idea that God is the ultimate good guy.
He's inherently
right?
good. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So if you didn't read it with that in with that context,
mm-hmm.
it's a really strange.
It is. Oh
really
my
strange
gosh! A strange
story.
Book. A weird
right?
book. Yes. Yes. A very weird one. But I mean.
But what I'm my point was that it. It's hard to be able to step outside of yourself and look
yeah.
at it from a different perspective.
Yes.
And once you can finally do that, it's a funny thing to look at everything you've
yeah.
ever thought. Because what you realize is that they're not your beliefs. You were just
mm-hmm.
taught.
You were taught them.
They
is
were
that,
taught
this
to
is
you.
Pretty good, yeah.
But, I, you know, even as a kid, I always questioned, well, how come those other people say this?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And
you
that's what I think it all comes down to, really, is how secure are you? Because I'm don't get me wrong, there are fundamentalist Christians I've met who are like, yes, let me hear your idea. And like I have worked with some people who are just like that, who are like, bottom line, they have this belief in something, but yet they will hear other ideas and discuss like, oh, well, what are the values of this and this, and theorize and like to philosophy. And so I'm not saying that all people are like that. It's the ones who are secure in their belief. If there's a person who says, I believe in this faith, I'm going to follow this code of ethics. If they are really struggling to believe in what they're doing, of course they're going to shut down and be like, no, don't tell me some shit that'll increase my doubt. Yes, exactly. And it'll just make their doubt grow. And so, of course, they're going to be like that. And that's why you got to think about that and not get super offended when somebody says, you know, no, I'm not going to hear your devil talk, because look at it from their perspective. They're struggling to find their meaning in believing in something, but not sure if they can actually believe it. I mean, or not sure if they can walk the way they talk. I mean, it's a scary feeling when you review your life. And that's why people hate time alone. I have a theory. People hate time alone.
I hate time alone sometimes.
I love it.
I get it. Well, I kind of get into phases where I love being alone, and then I'll get into a different phase where if I'm alone, I get bored. I get so bored. Yeah. I just want to have somebody there to talk to, or just be there and just
exactly
watch me and make sure I'm real. But maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that make me crazy. Okay, that's terrible. I'll probably cut that out. That was some dumb shit.
Man, Jon Stewart the other day, right? Did you see that show where he was talking about, what was it? About the guys that were on the, about the guys who were arguing with the Pope.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes, yes.
Yes,
it was last Thursday's episode. Last Thursday, Jon Stewart talking about the minimum wage and the protests for the $15 an hour minimum wage. And I actually stood up at one point and with my fist raised in the air, like ending of the Breakfast Club, just yes, exalting my fist, just in solidarity with Jon Stewart.
Don't you forget about me.
Yes, I mean, just a beautiful moment for me, and I'm watching it on a television miles and miles away. And it was just, it was true, because there's got to be a different system in place. We have to stop thinking about this way of living that's focused on material objects. I mean, and I'm not saying don't, people hear materialists and they're like, oh, you don't want us to go to shop for clothes and stuff. No, I'm not saying don't have material things. I'm saying don't put it above human life. And that's where we're at right now. We were talking the other day, like, how many blood diamonds did that cost you? And I know that's a terrible expression, but it's true, because whatever, you know, the nicest things that people have and hold up are built on the broken backs of the needy. I mean, it's sickening really to think about, because we got to consume. You have to consume to survive in this place. So, mm-hmm. I mean, shit.
Got to make a switch.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We have to move to a place where that is not the process. We have to put the material things just in importance. I mean, it's not like we don't need to have them. I believe that we can go use technology to move ourselves forward and be more sustainable, but it's not at the cost of human lives. No way. I mean, no way. Because then whose life is important? Then who decides which humans get to live out of the ones that die? I mean, then you're going with some whole wacky system. And just like we talked about, different people, different beliefs. They'll say, hey, kill all those religious, that kind of religion. Kill all those people. Or the other side.
Different strokes for different folks. I'm still waiting to get my consciousness just beamed into a robot.
No, man. No. Like, you want your consciousness to be in a robot?
Imagine how fast I could drum with Robart hands.
Nice. But, dude, but honestly, I thought about the other day and it made me sick. My consciousness being in a robot, because you lost it. The spark that makes you special. Because, like, how are you going to recreate the, when I get an idea, there's no way they're going to be able to recreate a creative idea that I got sitting on the shitter or something. You know, like a crazy idea that I just got while I was smoking a cigarette on my back porch. You know, and I was just thinking about my crazy day as a human, half of that involving health problems, health issues, or something of that nature, my tiredness level, my sleep. And that's what builds me to a place where I can create. And when you're a robot, you're just like, oh, I'm perfect in every way. I can lift giant boulders. I never have to sleep. I can run 30 miles per hour. Where is your inspiration and spark that is inherently human from being disadvantaged? Because if you think about it, humans should not be top of the food chain. Tigers will maul the shit out of us. Mm-hmm. But humans said, okay, instead of getting really strong and like being able to, you know, throw you around, I'm going to build this weapon. And then they're top of the food chain. And it's because they had that spark. They were so, at a physical level, disadvantaged from a tiger or a predator like that. But they had that spark that shot them to greatness. And I think if you're a super powerful robot, you lose that.
So what's our next step in evolution? What's going to be our next... What's the environment going to throw at us next that's going to make us morph into some other kind of being? Or at least change a little bit. Maybe grow some, I don't know, tails or wings.
Well, like...
Maybe we'll, like, grow gills and we'll move into the ocean and actually be Atlantis people.
Well, I mean...
Atlanteans.
Atlanteans, well, exactly. The Atlanteans were maybe supposedly one it time above.
It full circle.
Exactly.
We came from fish, and then...
Supposedly.
There's going to be another great flood.
Oh, well.
And then a few of us are going to die off, and then we're the rest of us are going to grow gills, and then we're going to build
trillion.
Atlantis.
a few billion people, you know. You know, because a great flood would kill a few billion people. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat the tragedies that humanity's face. But the way to get back to your question, where we're talking about what's next for us, I think that it could go in so many ways. I mean, there's, like you said, we could grow tails, we could grow gills. Well, the fish already have that, but what is going to drive us into the water? It's going to be what drives us into different places. What drives us to space? Maybe, I think, honestly, if you're asking me what would really happen?
Yeah, like, I mean, we already know that our planet's going to dry out eventually, right? In a few billion years.
Well, things could happen any day.
There's
going to
be climate change.
Any day.
So it could be anything.
Maybe. Well, a climate's been hotter than this on Earth before. It doesn't necessarily mean Earth is going to die because, well, supposedly, these people who study climate, because I read up on it, because at one point I was obsessed with are we going to die? I'm not going to be around for it. I shouldn't give a shit, really. But I don't want to advance that process. Don't get me wrong. But... And it's not so much is that going to dry us out, but it's how do we really go with the natural process? How do we embrace? Because it doesn't seem that evolution is a thing that goes so smoothly. In fact, it's said that evolution happens
bursts,
in kicks
right?
and bursts. Yeah, kicks and bursts. And so if you're talking and asking me, about what is really going to be realistically in my mind the next step, I think it has something to do with the human body being able to be super absorbed to radiation or something. Like the radio waves, like think about our phones. We got our phones always with us. They're beaming radio waves, tons of waves. We got Wi-Fi everywhere. Wi-Fi's hitting us at all ways. I don't know what that would exactly entail. Maybe another sense to where if there's some type of waveform, such as a microwave, a radio wave, some type of wave that we have a sense of it. And maybe we have no sense of it because, I mean, as it is now, we're getting hit with so much, it's like we may become immune to it even. Because we're getting just blasted by this stuff every day, Wi-Fi, all this stuff, just soaking it in just by being where we are. So I think it has something to do with that and how that will affect us. That's going to be where our evolution goes. You know what I mean? But I don't know what that would entail. Some type of nuisance or some shit like that. Be crazy, though. You'd be like, you're talking on your cell phone. You asshole, shut it down. This is church.
And I don't know what we could do with that.
Hey, face towards your mic.
Oh, sorry.
we still have to get around that. The little details. Okay, so let's. I'm not even seeing any stories that make me want to think and expand my mind on this page. And we're back. Short hiatus for us at the Think About It podcast. Had bathroom breaks to attend to. I've been drinking green tea all day. That's all I can say.
I've been drinking a lot of tea.
I'm drinking tea lately. Right now. I drink more tea than you.
I don't know. I get a tea every morning before I go to work.
Oh, really? Like how big? 32 ounce?
32 ounce.
Are you indulgent bastard? Yeah. I'm just kidding. I think that's a 44 ounce. But that's just a cup it's in. I didn't start out with
nothing 30. Bigger than a 32 ounce.
Who are you trying to be right there? Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York?
Just anybody. I don't know.
Just some asshole.
Just some dickwad.
Well, a story we wanted to talk about in the New York Times. On the front page, it was a letter from the tech giants of the world to the NSA / the government oversight. And you got the story pulled up, right?
Yeah.
What's it saying to us? Get close on it.
I don't know. I just pulled it up.
Freaking.
Did you read it?
No. I read it, yeah, but I don't have it in front of me.
Tech giants.
I read the letter. I want to read the letter on.
Tech giants issue call for limits on government surveillance of users. I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. They wrote a letter, and it's signed like Google, Microsoft, LinkedIn, Apple.
Oh, okay. On Monday, the companies led by Google and Microsoft presented a plan to regulate online spying and urged the United States to lead a worldwide effort to restrict it.
Yes.
They accompanied it with an open letter in the form of full-page ads in the national newspapers, yes, including the New York Times and a website dealing their concerns.
Yes.
All right, so let's see if we can find this bad boy.
The bad boy letter. Let me see if I can get
this. Might be it right here. Okay. The Obama administration has already begun to review the... Having done an independent review and brought in a whole bunch of folks, civil libertarians and lawyers and others, to examine what's being done, I'll be proposing some self-restraint on the NSA. Oh, wait. Okay, this is from Obama.
Yeah, I want to read the letter. Tech giants, like, it's like a letter. The full-page advertisements, really, is what you were talking about.
I'm trying to find it.
It was on the front page of the New York Times when I saw it in, like, the web version as well. It pretty much, like, I just want to read it because the wording in it, it's so, I don't know, when you get to talk about government spying, there's a point where people are like, they take you seriously up until a point where you're like, next thing you know, they're going to be breaking in our doors, and people are like, oh shit, well, I don't really think they're going to be breaking in our doors. But they worded it so eloquently that it's like, hey, listen, there is a problem though. There is a problem with you taking our information, and we've already talked about fusion centers. It's an injustice. I mean, it's information that makes and breaks us. I mean, like, I know just for a job, you got to give your social security number at least 6 times. I mean, geez, filling out stuff, your social security number can make and break you. People mm-hmm. look it up, and there's something bad on there. It's like a permanent record.
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like there's already too much information out in the stratosphere of, you know, the cloud. The cloud is what it is, you know. That's what it's become. The cloud of data that is out there about us. And just human behavior, think about that. Twitter is like a recorder of society's reactions to shit. Like, think about it. Like,
oh, dude.
You could do a study, the Miley Cyrus study. A girl gets up on a stage and does some somewhat wacky shit, and society reacts in a whole cluster flunk of just different reactions, and some that you would not expect. Mm. And it's like a sociological experiment. I mean, really, and Twitter is the medium in which we're getting most of those reactions. And the YouTube posters.
Oh, so. Yeah. We're recording ourselves.
Yeah.
Future historians, 1,000 years from now, anybody can be a historian. It doesn't matter.
All you have to do I saw a couple videos from that time.
Because Twitter's still going to be around.
Maybe. Dude, we've seen the death.
We're still going to have... We're not only going to have the internet. That. We're going to look back on the internet as, like... An old, like, primitive... It's going to be a primitive thing.
Just to play devil's advocate, what if society regresses? I mean, because there's a place like we've gotten
it could.
Because, like, listen, just, I mean, as, think about it, name drop. as just little time it took from us to get to the block phones, the brick phones, to the iPhone, we could lose it. We could lose it all. I mean, it's like we're gambling with life because you know, I was chatting with you about the subject that material possessions are worth more than the human life and this lifestyle we've got ourselves into. And it's like we could easily regress. Like society could collapse, the economy could collapse, and then suddenly when the smart people get killed off because they can't defend their food and shit, nobody knows how to make an iPhone, and we may get the power back on or shit, but we don't have that shit anymore. Like, it's going to become a rare thing
to find.
Does
anybody know how?
Well, I mean...
I don't know how. Do you know how?
Well, I mean, you got to think that there's going to be the factory workers that built... You know, and there's just those people who are so smart. They're like, I'm going to reconstruct an iPhone, you know, just re-engineer it. But my thing is, if we regress... And we go back to survival mode.
That's like the Joe Rogan stand-up bit, right? When he's talking about...
Oh, yeah, the dumb people. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's essentially when we go to survival mode, a lot of the smart people, they just won't have a medium. There won't be appreciation for the technology because you're like, dude, I got to guard my food and shit. I can't let this fucking pack of brigaders come through my house and kill my wife and children that I'm trying to keep alive through this apocalypse.
We're going to resort back to just having squirrel brains, just protecting our nuts and our nests.
Well, that's what I mean. And so, like, we could easily lose it. But if we do continue on advancing, then yes, we will look back on the internet and say, wow, what a crude... What a crude way, which I hope they never say that on the internet, because it's a beautiful invention that has already shaped our society like crazy. I mean,
I think eventually we're going to be able to go into the internet.
Like, they've already been Futurama?
Yeah, kind of. You know, they've already been. You showed me that, what was it called? Where they put on the helmet and you can, like, look around.
The Oculus Rift.
The Oculus Rift. Oh. Yes. They're already working on that.
Yeah.
And if they're doing that for games, why wouldn't you be able to do that with the internet? You can put yourself in the internet.
But what is the internet like?
Like maybe a shady ass alley. 3D space where you can go, and it's like a chat room, but it's like to you, it looks like a room.
An awkward ass.
And then, like, it'll spawn your friends in there like a video game, like Call of Duty. They'll just pop out of nowhere.
No, that makes the internet bad. Because what you know the freaks that are out there? You lucky if you don't make it a block down the internet before somebody's humping your leg. Just some freak. Just hump. I mean, I'm sorry, but the humanity, given all its great people of different, you know, no matter what you say is a great person, their humanity's made one of them. But they make some real bad ones. They make some rejects that'll just hump you in the streets. And that's what is going to turn in. If you're walking down a street on the internet, oh my God. Is there a police? Okay, we have to have a police or something, because there's just going to be egregious behavior. If you're under, you know, 13 and don't know shit or whatever about the birds and the bees, you're going to learn real quick walking down the internet and just seeing people. I mean, do we designate a place?
We're talking about the Matrix. Right now.
Is that what
that's all we're talking about?
Well, because in the Matrix, it still seems like they have bodily functions and they have needs and desires, maybe. Or did they
never
get into
that? I mean, this is obviously a basic form. It's I mean, this is first generation Matrix. They were in the sixth round in the movies.
Okay, yeah, they were so deep in, they got plugs in the back of their fucking heads. They're plugged in. They're literally plugged into this Matrix. And is that where we're heading? I don't think so. I don't think so because
I really hope not.
Because, well, if you look, the big popular culture,
it's one of my favorite apocalypse stories, though.
Well, the popular
culture. If we're gonna have an apocalypse, I would like it to be like that. But really? Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Well, I don't think it was apocalyptic. I think they were just harvesting humans and using them as energy. So it's like they're never ending. They just keep a little supply of them, like we would tomatoes. Well,
wasn't it like because people say that Terminator and the Matrix are the same story, but the Terminator just comes like they had the war with Skynet and the machines won. And then they put all of our bodies into these tanks and screwed needles into our spinal cords. And that's how it happened, right? I think.
I mean, I don't know, but I hate the fact.
That's pretty apocalyptic.
Yeah, okay. That would entail an
machine wars. If we get into wars with robots and they win, that's the apocalypse.
No, I think that. If we did get into a war with robots, humans win. And it's not because we just outlast the robots, because they're like, it's fucking robots, they don't sleep. But we find a master weapon, and we're like, sir, it's going to kill everybody but 10 people. Maybe 10 people survive. Fuck it, pull the trigger. We'll kill them.
Why not an EMP?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like some way like that. But also, if we're dealing with a thinking machine that can think 500 times the rate of humans, that's the first thing he's thinking about. Well, the humans are going to pick a master weapon. Look at their history. They're going to pick a master weapon. They're going to go for the big long shot. They're going to throw the Hail Mary, and I'm going to intercept that pass. I mean, if you get into talking about that, you have to limit what machines are capable of, because right now we use them, but I don't see a scenario where they start using us, other than the fact that right now we're driven by the materialistic sense of having the machines, of what it means to have this, of how it benefits my work life. And what is work but just your alliance to a certain lifestyle? So I don't think it doesn't make
suckling
or break it.
Suckling on the teat of your employer.
Suckling on the teat of these great advancements that we have. And that's the thing. I always talk about a more peaceful society that puts humans first. But if we're talking real, we don't have this computer sitting in front of me. We don't have this mic. We don't have any of that shit. If not for the struggle of just humanity's reckless abandon to say, hey, it's going to cost some human lives and, you know, years and years of toil and struggle, but we're going to advance, damn it. We're going to make the next thing. We're going to keep getting better, and we're going to keep making crazy shit. What, we're killing the planet? Fuck it. We don't care. You know, we'll go colonize other ones. That's all you hear in the news regarding space. And I hate that that's all people hear about. They're like, oh, you hear this planet they found, this like Earth. It's like, no, they found a couple of them, okay? but it's just a reoccurring story people always talk about. You hear this Earth-like planet they found. Well, yeah, they better find something. They better find something or stop screwing up this one, because, you know, people can chitter-chatter all they want about the conservation movement. And so I've heard people go as far to say that it's like a Earth-worshipping cult. Like a guy who didn't believe in global warming so much that he was like, it's a Gaia Earth-worshipping cult to where a rock is worth more than human life because humans destroy the Earth and they're the enemy. They're going to make humans the enemy because we killed the Earth and they're going to spin it. And that's how the New World Order is going to come in. But honestly, folks, there is a garbage pile in the Pacific Ocean, and speculation and rumors, by that I mean the pictures taken of it from aerial view, indicate that it is nearing the size of the state of Texas. So
I've never actually seen it. There are pictures of it.
Oh my god.
I want to look at this.
Yeah, so
Google it.
I mean, it's incredible to think about.
I'm going to search giant trash island. And it's, yep, pulled it right up.
Oh, well, I mean, it's hard to miss. It's a fucking island of trash. And we laugh about it. But what kind of Earth are they inheriting? The people who come after us, our granddaughters and grandsons, maybe. What kind of Earth are they inheriting?
Not a good one. A used one. A sloppy seconds Earth.
Well, I'm going to give you this good 96 Camry. That's what you're getting for a planet. I mean, really, though, but, like, it used to be so majestic.
And also this 96 Camry to drive.
Yes. The 96 Camry of planets and the 96 Camry to drive. In the 2030s, gosh. We won't even be on four wheels anymore. We'll be using some weird shit. I hope, man. I'm so sick of cars, man. It's just a average grind. I park too many cars, so it's like,
yeah, I'm tired of cars. That's all I do.
Exactly.
Let's work on cars.
Oh, cars. In cars.
Never what do you think seen. Is what do you think is our next invention, transportation wise?
So like our next mode of transportation?
Yeah.
I say we take to the skies. I mean, it just depends, though, honestly.
You talking space?
No, I mean, like,
you're talking everybody gets their own airplane. No,
yeah, it's like an airplane car. It's an airplane car.
Plane car. A plane.
Yes, but honestly, is humanity up to the intelligence? We can barely drive cars. People die in car accidents. I mean, isn't it like every 5 seconds or something a teen is...
What we need is automated magnetic roads. Your cars run off of magnetics, like there are magnets in the roads.
Yeah, okay.
Sort of like a roller coaster.
Okay.
And you just like,
but what if some shit happens? What if a goose runs?
Well, that's the thing, dude. We have technology now. We can put sensors on, like...
But I've been thinking lately, like, I talk about, like, what if we just invent this, but, like, mass producing it, and, like, we have to recycle better before we can really... Because if you grasp at how much rare earth metals are going into just, like, a parking sensor for a Nissan or something, it's like, damn. If we have to... I mean... This is, people see this technology and they go, oh yeah, there's cameras that help me park. No, no, son. No, let me explain something to you. There aren't cameras that make you park. There is rare earth metals that are dug and ripped from the earth by people with pickaxes and crazy machinery. And then they are composited, refined, they're put in circuit boards, they're programmed, they're fitted with software, and then they're strapped to a vehicle. That's how those cameras got on that damn car. And it's a crazy process. And we really have to think about how we're going to implement this. How are we going to implement technology? Because it needs to not be a thing that comes from the source corporation that just spits out technology and you just pick yours up, and yet they have the power to say what you can and can't do because you rely on their technology. It needs to be something to where technology is basic with everybody, and that we just have, everybody should get a basic handle. Like we've talked about this, about reforming the education system and just making technology a part, because there's no doubt that it can radically change human life, and in a good way and in a bad way. But if we get a handle on it and we do innovations that help us, that genuinely help human life and make it easier and give us more time for creativity and what we love, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the technology in an innovative way, not a way that's profitable, but, and that's all you see now. And we could talk all day about planned obsolescence. Oh, my God. Makes me so mad. Planned obsolescence. You know, with the, like, the iPhone shit they got going.
No, I'm unaware.
Well, it's like, shit. I mean, let's say you got...
Tell me about it.
we'll think about this. They just, they know what they're going to release. Like the 4, the 4S, what is the difference? A few minor things. And I feel like they're, you know, did you really discover that in the 8 months? Okay, pretty much they're going at it from the perspective like, we made the iPhone 4. It's the best shit you'll ever get in a phone. And then that's what they put it out there as. And then 6 months to 8 months later, they go, we said the iPhone 4 was the best phone. Turns out we didn't do some stuff that we could have done. The iPhone 4S is now the best. And now it's to the point where, I mean, I'm not gonna shit around. I got an iPhone 5C. I mean, and you know what? I do like it a lot better than my 4. I love holding it. I mean, shit, it's a beautiful piece of technology. But I feel like they had that. I feel like they just are releasing, and I mean, there's studies showing to this, and just, it's, you can all find about it, and you can do your own research on it. Just look up planned obsolescence, and I mean, shit, it's like they're,
it's
just
a great business model.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, Apple runs shit, and that's the thing on that letter to the New York Times. It was all these tech giants, and all the corporations had their name. Even Microsoft, just Microsoft in the logo. Apple's logo, straight up an apple. Just their apple. That's what they signed it as. That's what they signed it as.
I don't remember what it was off, but I saw a TV show where somebody made a joke about that, about the Apple logo. They brought their computer back. It was on Family Guy. It was Adam West on Family Guy. He brought his Apple computer back to the Apple store, and he said, "Hey, I want to return this. Someone's already taken a bite out of this."
Yeah, but it's crazy because you see that logo, and like now it's like this pristine, like you feel like you're going into the white paneled room future where it's super technologically and geeky. You know, it's like Mac. It's got this aesthetic to it. And they signed that. I mean, pretty much they're like sincerely... and they named all the corporations, and they had their logos down there, and all of them were like, pretty much, here's our name. You know, we know you see our logo. We see the Microsoft Windows logo, but it's good to see the Microsoft there because you're like, oh, it's Microsoft. But Apple's just like, screw it. We're just that Apple, and they just had it there, and it made me think, you know, that's the status they've gotten to. And so much so that, like, you know, what is it that really separates it? Because I feel like the iPhone is separate, like when I hold different types of devices. I mean, obviously, I am a slave to the Apple products, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
they are my masters. My favorite possession has got to be my iPod. I love having my iPod. It's such a great thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you think about it, like, and the iPod was the original with that. And then you have with the MP3 player. I mean, it's the first to really take an MP3 player and be like, wow, this is a future machine. This is a future. This is the next thing. Because we saw that transformation from CDs to MP3 media. Damn.
Yeah, you and I grew up in that transition.
Exactly. And so it's at the point now, because they were the first in that with the iPod. I remember seeing the classic for the first time. Fireman Jackson had one, and it was just like, it was nuts.
I still use CDs, by the way, to transfer music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. You do.
I burn CDs to give to my friends because I'm too stupid to learn how to use a flash drive. I can. I just like using CDs better.
Well, you know, I mean, some people still listen to vinyls. Like, a lot of artists that I see it now are also releasing on vinyl because people are just like that shit. They just love it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're talking about Apple, like, they were the first in the phone scene, too, to really take that phone up a notch. I mean, the smartphone that, you know, I heard the term smartphone before I had an iPhone, and I was like, sure, sure, okay, smart, quotations, smart. But now it's like, oh, shit, these things are smart. It's like, oh, hey, how many cups are in this? How many are in this? Oh, let me ask my phone. Let me ask. It's a smart son of a bitch. Let me ask it. They're smartphones now. They truly are.
It's just a computer. It's a mini computer that you can put in your pocket and call people on. It's a phone with a computer.
Yes. It's a phone. It's a foam pewter.
It's a foam pewter.
It's the iPhone. And you know, Android's got their shit going on. And I have people that swear by that Androids are better. But who knows? To the future we go, I guess it is. So we say. We're coming up on the end of the time here, though. It's been a crazy ride. I mean,
how deep are we?
Oh, we're about a whole buck deep in the shism.
Okay, man. All right, I want to talk to you about something after we're done.
Okay, what does it have to pertain with? We'll tease a little bit, maybe if it's good enough.
Maybe a show that I'm wanting to start.
Oh,
maybe an after show for a TV show that I'm currently watching.
Oh, okay, yes, and for those of you, we really want your guys' help. We really want you guys to be interactive with the shows, and we're going to be posting a lot more and different shows. And we have a whole network, the OP Network, and we are putting these shows together. We'd love feedback, and we'd love for you to sample, you know, dip your toes into all of them, but always, you know, keep up with Think About It. We'll be updating you guys with different content on there. My boy Jake, as we've alluded to in the last podcast, is a excellent drummer, and we're going to be having a video series where we really just let him go at it on the song, just let him rip it up. And I think a lot of people who play music, and a lot of drummers especially, will appreciate seeing what you do and seeing how you can put that twist on different things. I mean, you lay some shit down, buddy.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'll do my best.
So we're going to be getting you guys updated on that. But we want to hear your critiques and stuff for the show, what you want us to talk about, some interesting stories. You know, when we go out and look for stuff, we really look for stuff that just kind of piques the interest and to think about. And so if you get that stuff, tweet us at Thinking Podcast.
Also, I'm a big geek, and I love comic book stuff.
Yes.
Anything comic book related. So yes. I'm going to talk to Steve and maybe see if we can start doing some geek shows, too, about comic related topics.
Because I could just flow on that all day. Because somebody says, they give me two superheroes, and they say they duke it out. I could talk for, you know, 2 or 3 hours just because I like to do that.
I could do it for weeks.
Weeks, just on end. You got a couple people bringing you soup. That's what you're surviving on.
I feel like if the presidential elections were run on, like, comic book debates.
Oh, my God. Be ripping.
I would.
Actually, there's.
I would be a lot more interested.
But you got to think, like, who out there is.
I was about to say, I might run, but no. No, I still wouldn't.
Oh, I mean, there's people 40 years deep in the comic book knowledge game.
Yeah, I am not very knowledgeable about a whole lot of things, but I love Batman. Batman's my favorite.
Na 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 na.
Spider-Man.
Oh no.
Oh, that's wrong.
Okay, that's wrong. Obviously, you know that. But I think that'll do it. The na 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 na's was really where we hit our apex. So it's all downhill from here.
Climax.
Three-way climax. Only two ways, because it's only me and Jake on that podcast today.
Best friends forever. All right, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah,
we're going to get out of here.
Listen to us, and all your dreams will come true. And vote.
You just got to believe.
Vote or die.
Ride or die. I've been watching Fast and Furious. Sorry.
Yeah,
we
got to
end this thing.
Oh, sorry I got caught up watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, they're great movies. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Think About It with just me and Jake, Steven and Jake. You know us. All right. Again, you can follow us at Thinking Podcast on Twitter. Contact us at thinkaboutitcast@gmail.com. Have a great night. Stay saucy.